take it out of the way. I prepare all week and all day for a service. And then I have an unusual something happen while I was praying. Amen. I never had something like this happen. As I was praying, amen, someone that I honestly thought made it popped up just as clear like they were sitting there with me and said, warn the people. Mm. And I was shocked. Wow. Just like they were right there with me. Mm. And I had to stop for a minute. I was like, am I asleep? Am I awake? What is this? Amen. Said, warn the people. Amen. So they don't come to this place.
That's right.
In torment. And I was amazed and shocked because of how clear it was. Amen. Therefore, we're going to have a turn. Amen. Now, I did prepare a message on the right mind, and this is going to deal with the right mind. But you know, it's so important that we realize that God is real.
That's right.
Amen. His word is real. Amen. And then God monitors everything. Amen. And like I said, it'd even be different. This is not a normal person that I would even think about. Amen. But they just bang. Right there. I said, whoa. So I had to stop and look. So that's why I wasn't out of it, but I was out of it. Amen. Because God said, warn the people.
That's right.
Amen. So we're not going to try to scare you tonight, but we're going to do what God says. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's more important tonight that we're saved. Amen. When we leave these doors, we want the Lord to be able to say, well, with our soul. Amen. We leave tonight. We want to make sure God can say, well, with my soul. And the person said, just tell them that God is real. And God's word is true. God doesn't play. You know, a lot of times we think because God is merciful, amen, and because God allows us to get by with things, we have a tendency to think that we can take God's goodness for granted. Amen. So tonight, this is not going to be a usual message, but I guarantee you it's going to be a soul-stirring message. Amen. How many want to hear from God? You know, when the Lord was calling Samuel, the scripture said before Samuel knew the Lord, God was calling Samuel. Amen. He was in the house, but he didn't know the Lord. Anybody tonight in the house but don't know the Lord? Say anybody in the house. Now he was performing the office or the work of the high priest, but it said he did not yet know the Lord. So when God called Samuel, he said, you know what's so good about God? He makes sure that you hear him. He didn't just say Samuel. But he called him Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel ran to Eli and said, yes. Eli said, son, go lay down. I didn't call you. So Samuel went to lay back down, and God called him again. And Samuel went to Eli. He said, certainly you did call me. And not only did you call me once, but you called me twice. So Eli told him, said, Samuel, I did not call you. Go and lay down again. And the third time, Eli perceived, hallelujah, that the Lord was calling the child.
All right.
So he said, speak, Lord, for tonight, speak, Lord, for your servants here. Amen. We need our own relationship in our personal walk with God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, I got a whole lot of scriptures that came. I'm just trying to get them in order. Amen. Because, like I said, this was unusual for something like that to happen when you're praying. And God said, warn the people and let them know that I'm real and I don't play.
That's right. Amen.
God is real and he does not play. Amen. Because he's merciful. And because God will permit things to happen, he told them in the book of Psalms, he said, because I kept silent, you thought that I was altogether such a one as you. But God says, I will reprove you. He said, I will set things in order. That's what kind of God we serve. So tonight, can y'all forgive the pastor? But the pastor got to be obedient. Because when you walk out of these doors, amen. And even before you walk out the doors, you need to be right before God. Amen. So let's start off, and we'll start off in Isaiah chapter 5, if we can all stand for our scripture reading tonight. We want to be right with God. And this is supposed to be our right mind series, and I got 5 pages of notes. But I heard, actually, when I was studying today, one of the preachers said, a lot of times we go to church, we hear from the man, but we don't hear from God.
Right.
He said, a lot of times we come to church, we hear from the man, but we don't hear
God.
So tonight we want to hear from God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 5. We'll start off. We'll read, I think, verses 1 through 6, and then I'm going to read more of it. Now, once again, if we were to have a message tonight, the message is that God is real. Amen. God is real. Amen. Let me look at it real fast. Like I said, this is a microwave message. Amen. This had to come in a hurry. So let me just make sure that I have everything together. We'll read verses 1 through 7 of Isaiah chapter 5. Amen. And tonight, the most important thing, we want to be real aware in our souls. Amen. Verse 1 reads, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Is it a vineyard or a vineyard? What is it? Okay, whatever. And he fetched it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of the word. Can the church say the word of the Lord?
The word of the Lord.
It's blessed already. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is real.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Amen. God is real and God is merciful. And the Bible lets us know that God is of long loving kindness, tender mercies. God gives us time to get it right. But the danger that the church has learned to play the role of being a saint, but they don't really live it. Amen. Well, this was the case with the children of Israel of Isaiah. Verse 1 reads, now will I sing to my
beloved.
How many know we are beloved of God?
Yes.
Amen. John said, love, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know, hallelujah, that when he shall appear, that we shall be. For we shall see him. So we are his beloved. Amen. A song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very, how many know that as long as you're in church, you're in a fruitful place? God has planted us tonight. We are his beloved, and he has planted us in a fruitful hill. Amen? And he fenced it. Now this is what God loves us so much that God provides and make provision for the saints to have not just second best, but can we say the best?
Best.
God makes provision for the church not just to have anything, but he wants us to have the best. Amen. So he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the what kind of vines? God gives the church the best. He didn't just give them a vine, but he gave them the what? Choices of the vine. and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth. God did everything. He pruned it. He did everything for his vineyard to bring forth the best. Amen. But with all God did for the vineyard, it still brought forth wild grapes. It wasn't, I don't know, we grew up down south. Any of y'all ever have crab apples? We didn't call them crab apples down south. We called them crab apples. But y'all like to be more popular. Crab apples, right? Crab apples are sour and bitter. Amen. When you eat a crab apple, it can turn your mouth inside out. Well, this is what God said. Instead of you all being that Macintosh and that golden delicious, it came out to be crab apples. It was wild. It was bitter. Amen. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, you judge, I pray thee, between me and my God. Said, now I've given you the opportunity to have the best. Now you must judge between where you are now and what God has given you. Because there's no fault in God. Amen. God has given us what? The best. Now this next question he asked, he said, what? With all that our God has done for us, given us the best, provided the best, planted us in a fruitful hill, he said, what more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done? What more could God do in our lives that he has not yet done in it? God has given us the best. We got baptized in Jesus' name. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. We got the best. Hallelujah. The word said, not just the best of this world, not just the best of the present, but we got the best of the world to come. God gave us the best. What more? What else do you want? When he filled your precious soul with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it's the power of the world to come. So God has given us the best. He cleansed our souls while we were yet sinners. Amen. He redeemed us. Hallelujah. When we didn't need to be redeemed. God said, now I've done all of this for you. What more could I have done? Amen. When I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Now, skip down to verse 11. Verse 11 of the same chapter. Amen. Tonight, we want to be real. Amen. Like I said, this, whatever it was, startled me, because I don't know what it was. But I know it was real.
Right.
Warn the people. I heard Isaiah say, cry loud and what?
Spare not.
Cry loud and spare not. Amen. Tonight, the most important decision that any of us can make is that we're saved. Woe to them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue to night till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feast. You know what he said? This is just reveling, partying, right? Drinking and having a good time. He says what? Woe to them. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operations. They're consumed with self-indulgence, and they don't even consider the operation of his hand. Therefore, my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished. Those that should be out and those that should be claiming or proclaiming or heralding the cause of Christ, if it were today, they're quiet. You don't hear from them. They're famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. He said, therefore, hell hath enlarged itself and opened our mouth without measure. When you listen to the news, the atrocities, people committing suicide, mothers killing children, hell indeed has enlarged itself. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Now let's drop down to verse 20. Hell is what? Enlarged itself. Well, is the fallen God? No. Well, what is the issue? What is the concern? God has given the church, the saints, the best. But we are opting to go contrary to God. We don't even consider his works, nor the operations of his hand. And this is some of the characteristics of those that should have been fruitful in the house of God. Woe unto them that call
evil
good. These are the signs when you know that someone is not taking God seriously at his word. Somebody can be evil and mess up, and we just get all involved and all happy with them. Amen? Call evil good. You know, all these scriptures are coming to my mind, but I'm going to stay on the text that I got, that I just got, but it's a lot of other things. But, you know, I think we're getting the message. God is real.
Yes.
You can be guaranteed. Hallelujah. You can let people smoke, give you a smoke screen, or give you a whole lot of false stuff and try to bring you in a false way. God is real. Amen. And I guarantee you on the day of judgment, you will come. Amen. Solomon said, O young man, live according to your heart. Do whatsoever your eyes and your heart desire. But know about this, for all of these things, God will bring you into judgment. You know what he said? You can do what you want to do, but God's going to judge you. Amen. Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after you die, then it's a what?
Judgment.
So it's coming. Hallelujah. And good, evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise, they don't consider God. Amen. Decision making, what they do, they don't consider God. They don't consider the works of God's hand, nor do they consider the operation of his hand. But they're wise in their own eyes. The book of Proverbs says, be not wise in what? Your own eyes. But fear the Lord and depart from evil. Be not wise in your own eyes. Because the wisdom of man is opposite of the wisdom of God. Amen. We can only know God through wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You don't get wisdom outside of God. I don't care how wise you are. I don't care how many books you write. True wisdom comes through God. Amen? Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their... They're leaving God out. He says, woe is a warning. And it's not just a light warning, but it's a what? Stern warning. Woe unto them. Can I get amen?
Amen.
I know, I ain't gonna get a lot of amens, but I'm gonna tell y'all anyway. All right? Amen? Next verse. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Amen. Proverbs 27 and verse 20. So we're dealing with the fact tonight, that person came to me and said, warn the people. And I was shocked that they not come down to this place of torment. Amen? Hell and destruction are what? Hell and destruction are never full. Amen. People die and go to hell every day. People are being destroyed every day. Guess what? Hell just keeps receiving. Because hell and destruction are never full. Now let's go to Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. Hell and destruction are never full. So you say, well, eventually enough people are going to realize they're going to hell and change. No, he just keep receiving because it's never full. Luke 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve You cannot serve God and the devil. You cannot serve God and self. You cannot serve God and do what you want to do. You cannot serve God and do what is right in your own eyes. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of as a man. The Bible says, as when a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth it not, yes, as he. You know what that means? You're leaving God out. Whatever you're doing, please incorporate God in what you're doing. No servant can serve two masters, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and you cannot serve God and now he's dealing with wealth in a debasing sense. Amen. Now everybody needs money to live, but we're talking about those that are consumed, are driven by wealth and not God. And the Pharisees also who were greedy. Amen. Some people are greedy for money. Heard all these things and they derided the Lord Jesus himself. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves. Now this is a gut check. Ye are they to justify yourselves before what? Before men. But God said, ye are they. Lord, thank you. You can't justify yourself before God. Yes, you can justify yourself before men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is don't get it messed up, saints. Just because everybody says it's great, what does God think? That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. God is real. God sees all. God misses nothing. So that which is highly esteemed among men, the Bible said, is an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. Let's keep going. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Thank God. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle or one law to fail. God's word is so set, nothing in God's word will ever fail. Amen? Amen. Whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another, committeth adultery. Well, keep going. We don't want that part. This is what we want. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously
every day.
And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So now, in man's world, the rich man had it all together. And you look at Lazarus, Lazarus didn't have nothing, right? That which is highly esteemed among men is a what? In the sight of God. So God does not see as we see. Because when we look at the rich man, he's on his way to heaven. And we look at Lazarus, you don't have anything. But God does not see like we see. And desire to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels. Lord, let the angels carry me. I said, let the angels carry me. In Abraham's bosom, the rich man died also, but he was buried. Amen. He was buried. And the rich man, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. The person said, warn him that they don't come to this place of torment. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. How many know the Bible says that we are threefold? That's the way it lies. The way you die is the way you will be judged. Amen. Elder Mackin and I was talking the other day. We said if some of those that would die, if they were to come back and talk to you right now, what would they say? Those that have gone on before us, if they could just come back and speak to us for a small moment, what would they tell you? Hallelujah. Lord, heaven is real and so is hell. Amen. Somebody said, I got a heaven to gain and a hell to shine because it's real. And he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am what? This person said, warn the saints. This is not a place that we want to go to. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a... He said, you're in hell, and this is before... Now, everybody know when Jesus went down, he took captivity captive, right? He went down and rescued those that were in prison down in the earth. So when he resurrected, he took them, he took a whole lot of people back with him. Read Matthew, the end of chapter 27, you see how some of the dead saints got up and walked around for a little while. Somebody says, oh, that's fictitious. Yeah, it's real. When Jesus came out the ground, a whole lot of things happened different. Amen. So when he rose, the Bible said he took captivity captive. Peter said he preached to those prisons, those spirits that were in prison. But then he was liberated. When he got up, he took all of them back with us. But we're not here for that. Amen. Amen. He said, so that they which pass hence to you cannot, neither can we pass, can they pass to us. That will come from this. Now there's a teaching that you can die once you die. When I was a kid, I believed this. Until I read a tract one day and found out where you die is where you stay. I was shocked. Because as kids, we thought, you know, we had this mindset where once you die, you just dream on forever. Amen. And you're just all right. Then somebody passed me when I was 10 years old, never forget, they got a tract. And the tract said, when you die, that's where you judge. If you die, you go to hell, you stay in hell. And if you die, you go to heaven, you stay in heaven. I was tormented every night. Literally every single night I had a nightmare. For the longest. Because all my life, even though I was only 10 years old, I wasn't that old, I didn't think you'd really go to hell. But when I read you go to hell, it stirred something in me.
Right.
I couldn't rest. At 10 years old, I could not rest. I wanted to go to heaven, and I didn't want to go to hell, because I always thought that you only were in hell for a little while until I found out the truth, that the way you die is the way you stay for eternity. It's real. Amen? So I'm not going to put on anybody's teaching, but don't believe you're going to stay here for a little while and somebody's going to pay some money and buy you out. Uh-uh. When you die, that's when you judge. Amen. And then, like I said, we're not knocking religions. We're not knocking anything, but we're teaching God's word. And we're not going to create something and put it in there that's not in there. Because Bob said, when you die, that's when you will be judged. So don't think you're going to stay here for a little while and then you're going to pay some penance and all this stuff and then you're going to move over. No, you're finished. I don't care how many millions they pay. You won't change that with God. Because the Bible said, God, you're going to die and you're going to be judged as your works shall be. When you die, your works are finished. So how can you be judged based on your past works and your present condition? It doesn't work. Amen. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my... He had the presence of mind to say, go back and do what? Warn them. I love my family, and I did not know. If I would have just listened, he said, I wouldn't be in this place. The next verse said, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place. He didn't want anybody to go to this place of torment. Amen. I don't know what plights, I don't know what things are challenging us in our lives. Be real with God. Amen. Just be real with God. Whatever it is only for a little while. It will pass. Bishop said, he said, Elder Camp, do you realize the scripture said this too will pass? He said, it's not going to last forever. It too shall pass. Put yourself in a position so you can receive God's blessings. Amen. Abraham says unto him, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from, he said, if somebody went from the dead back, they surely would believe and they would repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Amen. And like I said, I'm not going to go through it, but if you read Matthew 27, this is, if you want to really know about it, read Matthew 27, the Bible talks about when Jesus rose and all those dead graves, people got up and walked around the city for a few days and had been dead. But guess what? Still didn't believe. Amen. And then I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He talks about how Jesus showed himself alive for many infallible proofs, but they still didn't believe. He had already said, neither will they be persuaded though one what? Rose from the dead. Now let's go to Luke chapter 12. I'm almost finished. Amen. Luke chapter 12 and verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. So, hell is real, and so is heaven. And the only way that you can get to heaven is you got to go God's way. Amen. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of whom? Of God. Amen. Luke 12 and 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Amen. Don't look at your possessions. It's more to life than that. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. Now, the operative word in all these scriptures is what he said, what? I will. He doesn't make mention to God. He makes no reference to God. He makes no reference to being in touch and in tune with God. But all he's talking about is what he will do. He said, I will. Now, go back up one more time. I think I counted this one time. I think he says, I like 7, 8, 9 times. The devil misses God one time. Anybody that you have around and all they talk about is what they can do, you don't need that person. You need to get away from that because that's a dangerous, selfish spirit, amen? And that spirit does not glorify God, amen? It says, what I shall I do because I have, right? Just what? I. Next verse. I will pull down. I will build greater. Where will I bestow my goods? Everything is about what? Self-centered, amen? And I will say, hello, is God real? Does God have any impact on what you say and do? Does God have any influence over your decision makers? I. Amen. So thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease drink, and be merry. But now God, Lord, don't ever let me get to the place where you have to correct my misgivings and misdeeds. Amen. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then all that stuff that you've gathered in the mass, Solomon said it this way. He said, I'm going to gather all this. He said, I have kingdoms, I have thrones. He said, who knows that thou of a fool will come in and take over what I have. You know what he's saying? He said, I've worked so hard to get this. He said, somebody else will come in and just waste it. Amen. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. He said, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up. So is he that what? But what was the indictment against him? He is what? Not rich towards God. We're living in such a time of deception. This is a time of deception. Paul refers to this as perilous times. Amen. Paul refers to these last days as a time when men will and shall be deceived. Amen. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to touch on these a little bit. We want to be right in the sight of God. Amen. How many want to go to heaven? I know I want to go to heaven. Well, you know there's only one way you can go to heaven. You cannot go your way. You have to go. There's only one way to go to heaven. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh. It means it's clear. It's no ambiguity. It's not cloudy. Especially that in the latter time, some shall depart from the faith. Giving thee to what? If ever there was a time when the devil had more doctrines and seducing spirits, it's today. Well-meaning saints that have been walking with God for a long time allow themselves to get into an emotional state. Listen, they allow themselves to get into an emotional state. Whenever you get caught up in emotions, you open the avenue for who? The devil. Whenever you get in an emotional state, you open up the avenue or the door for the devil. Go, and we're going to come back to this. Go to Matthew 16. I'm going to show you why. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. Your emotions, if you don't keep those emotions in check, they open up the door for the adversary. Amen. Let me just get the verse here real fast. Go to verse... Verse 13. Let me show you what happens when you get caught up in the emotion of things. Amen. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, whom say ye that I am? Now we're talking about what happened when your emotions go unchecked and get the advantage of you. He said, well, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to what Jesus says to Peter. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood. Revelation comes from who? God. Revelations comes from who? God. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father. So he said, Peter, you old Simon Barjona, the only reason you know who I am is because you have been in touch with the Father, and the Father has revealed to you who I am. Amen? Next verse says, and I say unto also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this, do you realize you're blessed? Not only are you blessed, but I will build my rock, my church upon this rock because of the what? Revelation that he received from God. And the gates of what? Shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And this is how mighty. That's why who's supposed to be on the day of Pentecost? Peter. Because he had received the keys to the kingdom. Somebody said, how can somebody else speak? Because God already told him, you got the keys. Amen. Amen. You got the keys. So on the day of Pentecost, the only proper person to speak would have been. And you know why the devil worked so hard to try to kill him? Because he was trying to have the gates of hell prevail. But God had already given him the confirmation.
Right.
You may fail, Peter, but your faith will not fail. Not even the very gates of hell shall prevail. Amen? He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen. About this time, you have to say that he's a blessed individual. Amen. Wouldn't he be considered blessed? Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He gave them God's plan for his life. Amen. Now the same Peter, not a different one. Can we say the same one?
Same one.
That received the revelation, that received the blessings. Then Peter took him and began. He was getting God's way because of his emotions. Amen. You got to keep him in check. He said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he, meaning Jesus, turned and said unto, wait a minute, did Peter just receive a revelation from God? But the emotions, when they get in your way and influence you to go against God, will open up the doors for another spirit. Amen? He said, get thee behind me. Who is he speaking to? Peter. God had just revealed this to him. Now his emotions were out of check. When your emotions run wild, that's why the devil works on your emotions. Because when he works on your emotions, he said, now I got a door to get in.
That's right.
So he works on your, he does things to cause you to have an emotional upheaval. Because in your emotional upheaval, you leave God out and make a way for him to get in. So what does the devil do to church, to saints, to relationship, to marriages, to people? He causes these emotional distresses. And then in your emotional distress, instead of you trusting and believing God, you get all wound up and messed up, and the devil says, okay, I can open the door now. So the Lord told Peter, he's, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, well, you don't even, thou savorest not the things that be of who?
God.
That's what happens when you get emotion and let your emotion get out of check. You forget about God. Now let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 4. My time is almost up. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, we came to church, we worked hard all week, and you're telling us about hell and all this? Yeah, because we need to be right. I need to be right, amen. Speaking lies in the prophecy, having they've fallen away. Amen. They've been deceived. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devil will cause your conscience to be what? Seared with a hot iron. Amen. You know what God expects of you. Amen. I believe it's in Micah. It said, thou knowest, O man, what God doth require thee. But the devil has allowed, you have allowed the devil, allowed situations, not always the devil. You just allow things to get the advantage and your conscience is messed up. You know what God requires of you, but to do good, to do justly, and to walk humbly before God, amen? Forbid to marry and commanded to abstain from meat which God has created. Go to the next verse. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused and to be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Amen. And you, in your spare time, you read 2 Timothy chapter 3. He gives more indications of the last time. Well, what we want to do tonight is we want to esteem God's word. We want to place God's word on a higher standard than anything else. Amen. That which man esteemed, the Bible says, a what in the sight of God?
Abomination
in the sight of God. You know, there are times when we're wrong and we pray to God and we want God to change and work things out. And when we know that our lives are not in harmony with the word of God and the scripture, we think the fault is with God, but it's not with God. This is the last scripture. Go to Proverbs 28, verse 9. This is the last scripture. We have fault with God. We have issues with God, but the problem is not with God. The problem is with who? Us. This is the last scripture. Now, we're dealing with things that are abomination in the sight of who?
God.
Of God, right? This Proverbs 28, 9 says, he that turneth away his... Say, yeah, I heard it, but I didn't really receive it. I know that's God's word, but I didn't receive that. Say, he that turneth away. Now, this is something that you do willingly. Amen. It didn't say someone else did it. But he that turneth away his ear, not somebody else's ear, from hearing what?
The law.
The law. Even his. That's heavy. You know what I'm saying? In other words, how you do what you want to do and then turn around and think God's going to bless you? Amen. He that turneth away his ear, hearing God's law, even his prayer is at, let us all stand. God is real. His word is real. Hell is real. Thank God we're on our way to heaven now. And heaven is real. But it's so important tonight as the altar workers come forward and the elders and the ministers. It's so important tonight that we are right with God. Amen. No one else can give an account for you. Amen. Kill those emotions. The emotions only open up avenues for the adversary. As the elders and the ministers come forward, tonight, once we leave church, we want to be right with God more than anything else. We want God to be able to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We must be right in the sight of God. If you lose everything else, as we said on Sunday, what or who is holding you back from being what God wants you to be? You can't blame it on anyone else, because in the final analysis, God gives us all the responsibility or the accountability to make our own decision. You can't blame what you are on anybody else, because the Bible says, God be for you, who can be against you? And the scripture says, when a man ways please the Lord, he will make your enemies be at peace. So if things aren't where they should be, it's time to check yourself out, brother.